This is Living the RV Dream, episode 175 for Friday, January 8th, 2020.
I'm riding
in my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers. Hello, happy travelers around the world, fellow pelican heads, part-timers, full-timers, boondockers, weekend warriors. Show of hands, who's going out to Quartzsite next week? In any case, welcome everybody. Welcome to another show. Today, coming to you from our friend's property here in Taylor County, from the Average Campers RV Live. Check out their channel. And I'm up here. The idea was to work some on the property today. I finally got an address. I have an address now. And but the weather is not cooperating this afternoon. I'm recording this on a Thursday, of course. But tomorrow, as you listen to this on Friday, I'm going to be not clearing a whole lot, not working a whole lot on the property. But I'm trying to get someone to cut some of the trees and to mulch some of the ground. So hopefully we'll get some of that done tomorrow. But that's it. And after that, I'm going to Tampa to the Florida RV Super Show. I hope to see many of you over there. And of course, the Florida RV Super Show is going to run next week. And the dates are from Wednesday, January 13th to Sunday, January 17th. And of course, next episode, I'm going to be broadcasting from there, and I'll let you know some of the stuff that I see. You know, of course, I'm going to hang out with the folks from Winnebago and, stepping in and out of RVs as I usually do at the Tampa RV show. But today, we're not going to talk much about that. Today, I have an interview. And a couple of days ago, I spoke with Kevin Martin, and he has a YouTube channel called 30 and a Wake Up. And it was kind of an unrehearsed conversation. We spoke a little bit about everything, about YouTube, about RV travel, about international travel, because before COVID, he used to be an avid international traveler all around the world, a lot of Southeast Asia, South America, Europe. And then after COVID, well, he decided to get a Winnebago Travato, actually a Class B motorhome, and travel the United States. And coincidentally, he was staying in South Florida. We still did the interview via Zoom, but hopefully he'll be at the Tampa RV show as well. Well, without further ado, here's the interview with 30 and the Wake Up. All right, everybody. Today on the podcast, we have a special guest, Mr. Kevin Martin, and he's being an international traveler, RVer, and you tell us about yourself. I want to welcome to the show. Thank you for coming, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for having me, Robert. This is really awesome. I've been a huge fan for a long time, so this is it's kind of coming full circle for me. I watched your videos, and it kind of inspired me to do this, and now to be on your podcast is amazing. My viewers know that I listen to your podcast when I go on runs, so I'm very familiar with this podcast when you took it over. So, really honored to be here. Just a quick Cliff Notes version of my story. I joined the U.S. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, so in the Midwest. I joined the military at 19 years old. I joined the Navy because I wanted to kind of see the world. I hadn't really done a whole lot of traveling as a young man. Other than a couple RV trips with my family, which is one of the reasons I got into an RV. So I spent 20 years in the military. I lived mostly overseas, and I retired. I always wanted to go to law school, so I went to law school in Washington, D.C. for a few years, and then I moved to New York City, became a corporate lawyer. I actually was defending pharmaceutical companies, the same okay. ones that like are responsible for the vaccine. So now everyone used to hate them. Now they kind of like them a little bit. And I really miss travel. I was coming home at night, watching your videos, watching other YouTubers that I really like, and kind of living vicariously through them. And then one day I just decided, like, why can't I travel full time and turn that into my career? And so that's what I did. 2 years ago, I left my job as a corporate lawyer and I started traveling full time. I traveled for a year internationally, and then COVID hit, and so I bought an RV. I bought a Winnebago Travato, and started traveling the United States. I mentioned I was in the military for 20 years. I was stationed mostly out of the country. And when I was stationed in the United States, I was deployed all the time. So I haven't really explored the U.S. So this has been really an awesome opportunity to explore the U.S. a little bit.
No, absolutely. And it's a totally different experience also when you explore it by car or by RV, as flying everywhere. Yeah. But let me rewind a little bit and tell us a little bit about all the international places you've been to, because I've been looking through your YouTube channel here. By the way, the YouTube channel, can you tell us a little bit about that? It's 30 and a Wake Up, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. What's with the name? What would you, why that name?
Yeah, so this is always a point of confusion. Although my audience loves it, I've tried to change it a couple of times, and they did not want me to change it. So I've kept it 30 and Wake Up. But the genesis behind the name, I mentioned I was in the military. When you go on a military deployment, you usually have a countdown for when you're going to return to your friends and family. So you say, if you have 100 days, you say I have 99 days and a Wake Up. I knew I was going to start traveling internationally, but I like to travel slow. So I like to stay in a country for about a month and then move to the next country. And so that's the name 30 and a Wake Up. I spend 30 days in a country and then wake up somewhere new. Obviously, since I've transitioned into the RV, it doesn't make a lot of sense. People think, I always get the comment, like, you look pretty old to be 30. And then I think I had some kind of wake up call. Mm-hmm. Which I guess I kind of did, but that's not the genesis of the name. Yeah. So
that's what I thought originally, 30 and a Wake Up, like you woke up when you were 30, maybe a few years back. But okay, that's cool. That's a good story. Now, if I see here, you've been to Southeast Asia, you've been to South America, you've obviously been also to Europe. Can you tell us a little bit about those travels and what prompted you to go to those particular places?
Yeah, so when I first started traveling full-time, and I knew I was going to build my brand around travel, I started looking for ways, I started looking for like different travel programs that would handle the logistics of travel so I could just focus on building my channel. I found a really cool company called Remote Year. And what Remote Year does is it takes a bunch of individuals who can work remotely and they travel for a year and you live in a different country every 30 days. So it already fit my kind of brand. And they do 4 months in South America, 4 months in Asia, 3 months in Europe, and then the last month is in South Africa and Africa. So I joined that program and they had a set itinerary. So I lived in Lima, Peru the first month. Then I went to Santiago, Chile, then Medellin, Colombia, then Mexico City, Mexico. Then we headed to Asia, went to Vietnam, Hanoi, Vietnam, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Kyoto, Japan, and Chiang Mai, Thailand, and then to Valencia, Spain, Lisbon, Portugal, Split, Croatia, and then finally we ended in Cape Town, South Africa, and that was February. I spent February of last year in Cape Town, South Africa.
Wow. You came back right on time because COVID hit the month after. Yeah. And I know the world started shutting down a little bit. I don't know if you follow the Wings. They are on a sailboat and they were stuck. They were stuck away from their boat for a whole year. So
I follow them. I mean, I followed them since they were RVers and on the boat. Yeah, I was really lucky. Yeah, my program ended I got back to the US March 2nd. And I mean, like literally days after that, all the travel bans started. Mm-hmm. I think when I left South Africa, they had their first case. And so they were still kind of like, you know, not a big deal. But as soon as I got to the United States, they started dropping the travel ban. So I got really lucky in my timing. The people that were out on the program similar to mine, they kind of got stuck and then had to come home. And of course, you know, a company like Remote Year couldn't survive without being able to have travel programs, so their business went under, And it's sad because it was a great program. But
yeah, well, hopefully when things get back to normal, whenever they do, they can come back. I mean, it sounds like a really good program. And it sounds like you've been living the life, being in all this, living the life, being in all these different diverse places. I mean, and I haven't been to Southeast Asia, but of course I have roots in Latin America, and I've been to Europe. Out of all these places, what felt farthest away from home, if you will?
Ooh, usually I get, what's your favorite place?
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I get that one all the time too. And it's kind of hard to find one place. What felt farthest away from home?
So I also did a lot of exploring on my own outside of the program. And I went to Luang Prabang, Laos. And that is the biggest city in Laos. And you still fly in on a prop plane. There's kind of like when you walk in, there's like a little sign that somebody printed out and wrote in a marker and taped to the wall that says, get in this line for visas. You know, it was that kind of place. And that's the biggest city. I stayed in the tallest building in Luang Prabang, and it was 4 stories. So it was just it's a really cool place to be culturally, but also as far away from home, the conveniences of, you know, Western countries as you could be. It was, but it was really nice and refreshing. Actually, I would go back in a heartbeat.
I have found that in travel, whenever you get out of your comfort zone like that, those are usually the most rewarding experiences. That what you remember the most afterwards. Yeah. Any exotic food you tried in any of these countries that is something that you wouldn't eat normally, but you said like, I'm gonna go out on a limb and try this.
Yeah. So I said Lao. A lot of times when I go to a country, I'll hop on Airbnb and see what Airbnb experiences are in the area, because a lot of times there's a lot of good local experiences that you can find. In Laos, there was one. That's it. Just one. And it was a guy who was a chef, and he basically took you around to these markets and bought a bunch of food for you and then made it for you. And one of the things was like goat brains. And it actually wasn't too bad. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. And then in Peru, I don't know if you know this, but guinea pig is a delicacy in Peru.
Yeah, actually, my wife lived in Peru for 5 years, so yeah, she's told me about it. Yeah,
yeah, it's called like Gai, I think is the name of it, Gai. But they basically just drop the guinea pig into a boiling pot of water, and so you get the full guinea pig, it's really weird. I think it was like just the meat shredded or something, it would have been a little bit different. But it was such a weird experience, and I was kind of grossed out about it that I couldn't even put it in my YouTube video. I'm like, I can't put this in a YouTube video. So, but yeah, that was the weirdest thing, I think, was the guinea pig. So
yeah, no, definitely. And was language a barrier in some of this? I imagine in a place like Laos, you need a guide like what you had. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So I mentioned I traveled in a program called Remote Year. So I traveled with the same 30 people for the whole year. And they were from all different kinds of places, Finland, Brazil, Portugal. So we had a bunch of people that spoke a bunch of different languages. So that was kind of nice. You could just kind of grab your, you know, when we were in Lisbon, I just grabbed my Brazilian buddy, and he speaks Portuguese. So it was easy to get around Portugal with him. And same thing overseas. Another good thing about that program was when you get to the country, there are two local nationals that are assigned to your group. And they basically take you to the places that you wouldn't normally be able to find as a tourist. And of course, they speak the language. So that helped. But to be honest with you, a lot of places, people just speak English. You know, I mentioned this in a video. The U.S. is probably the least bilingual country. Most other countries, it's very common to speak a second, third language. It's just natural. And so in most places, and that's why U.S. people can't learn another language, is because you go to places and so many people speak English that you just fall back on that crutch instead of trying to learn the language. So there wasn't really a language barrier, really, to be honest with you.
English seems to be like the lingua franca for travel, for sure. And and I've been in Finland, you know, it became, I was in Amsterdam too, and it became like I would just talk to people in English. You know, I you get to a point that you assume that, especially in European countries, some of them, everybody does. Before we segue into RV life, any place that you traveled that brought you back home that was most similar to the U.S.?
Most similar to the U.S. I'd probably say Mexico City. I mean, it's like being in any U.S. U.S. city. I should have explored. I've explored some of Mexico, but I'd never been to Mexico City. And I mean, there's a McDonald's and KFC on every corner. You might as well be in LA or Miami when you're in Mexico City, to be honest with you. It wasn't too much different. Although you could find really good, you know, really good food, really good Mexican food, but not, you know, American style Mexican food. So I would say Mexico probably felt the most like the US to me.
Now, speaking of Miami, you are in Miami. We could have done this in person, you know that, right?
Yeah, we should have. I was thinking that. I was like, I could just drive over there. I'm a little bit southwest of Miami. I'm in 1,000 Trails.
I know exactly where you are. Yeah, if you want to divulge it, you know, by the time this comes out, you probably are not going to be here anymore.
I'll be gone.
but there are not many choices in Miami. Let's just put it that way. There's like three or four places, and most of them are like southwest. I know what brought you to come back to the US, I see you have a Travato, and I believe you have the K model. Made you choose that particular class B?
Yeah, so for me, it was really about to be honest with you, it was really about the power system. So I don't know how familiar you are with the Volta system. But the Volta power system is an amazing power system. I like to do a lot of off-grid stuff. Since I'm in Florida, I'm in a lot of campgrounds right now. But normally, I'm off-grid most of the time. So with the Volta system, I can stay off-grid for a long time, but still have the power to, you know, power my laptop, to do all the things I need to do. I can run the AC, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. So the first thing I did was honestly, research power systems. And I was originally going to get a Hymer, but then Travato came out with the National Park Edition with the souped up Volta system. And so I switched from a Hymer to a Travato. And that's kind of how I ended up in this. The K model, I just like the openness of it. You can't really see here because I got the window shut, so there's not a huge glare in here while we're doing this podcast. But normally, especially when I'm out in the middle of nowhere, you know, I'm out in the Tetons, you know, I have views from every different angle. And that's what I like. I like the open feel of the K as opposed to the G, which is what a lot of people get.
Yeah, the G has the corner bed in the back, and then the other corner is the bathroom. So you kind of lose that angle. And you have that pretty big bathroom back there in the back that you could, if you're in the middle of nowhere, in theory, you could open the doors and
make
the bathroom outdoors, right?
But, yeah, I have this photo where I wasn't actually using the bathroom, but I acted like I was at the like edge of the Grand Canyon, you know. So with the Grand Canyon out my back doors, you know. So
I forgot to ask you when you did the nomadic lifestyle in the beginning. What did you do for income? Were you like a digital nomad, or did you start earning most of your income from blogging and YouTube?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I was a lawyer. I've always been a saver. I have a rental property, and so I had some cash reserves. I had like a safety net so I could get my business started. I'm also retired from the military, so I get a monthly pension from the military. I'm really fortunate in that respect, and I also get really low cost healthcare, which also helps because that's often a big expense for someone that quits their job and tries to go nomadic. So I had a couple of feathers in my cap already. So I was I'm very fortunate in that respect, like I mentioned. But my goal was to, so let me go back a little bit. I've had a YouTube channel before that was successful. I had a YouTube channel on investing that was pretty successful. So I knew the potential and how to earn money on YouTube. I had to close that channel down when I became a corporate lawyer because I had a lot of corporate conflicts with that channel because I represented some of the businesses that I had talked about on my channel, and that's a huge no-no. I wish I wouldn't have shut it down now, hindsight being 2020. So I already knew how to grow a YouTube channel. So I gave myself 2 years to basically build my YouTube channel income up to enough where it completely funds my travels. And about 3 months ago, it hit that level. So now, ever since then, it completely funds my travels. So I'm really, I'm fortunate in a lot of different respects. And now I make enough on my YouTube channel to support my travel lifestyle without having to dip into any of my other income or savings. So.
Yeah, you have 61,000 subscribers in 2 years. That's good, man.
I mean, it's, you know how it is. It's up and down, up and down. You have one video that takes off, and then, you know, so it's, I tell people all the time, the key to it, and I'm sure you know this, I'm preaching to the choir, is if you want to build a YouTube channel, you just got to keep putting out videos.
Yeah.
And at some point, something will catch, you know, but if you, most people leave before they, before something catches.
Yeah.
YouTube rewards consistency.
Yeah. Right now, in my case, I cannot put a finger on exactly what make the channel take off, but for me, I tell people consistency. I mean, put good videos, of course, and good thumbnails. Any thoughts? Anything to add to that? I mean, SEO, of course, but.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, what YouTube wants is people to click on a video and watch it. Right. So you have to, I always tell people, you have to think about what makes people do that. It's the thumbnails and the content. So your thumbnail has to tell the truth about what the person's going to see or they'll click off, and that's bad. Those are the two biggest things. There is some SEO that comes into play, so you're found in search engine. But really, at the end of the day, YouTube just wants people to sit and watch their channel.
Watch,
so you
time.
Have to. Yeah, it's all about, the thumbnail is the most important thing.
Yeah,
I think it's, I mean, other than actually making good content. I mean, if they click on a thumbnail and the content's terrible or bad.
You're gonna click off within 10 seconds. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think that's the key too. And another thing is your videos are really well produced, plus they're long. So, I mean, I know I've sat and watched, you know, a video of yours that's an hour long. So, I mean, you got an hour of watch time off one person, and YouTube just loves that kind of thing.
I think that might having it. I did it. It was like 8 years ago, a California road trip, and it's about an hour. I think that's the first video that actually started taking off. So watch time. That's what YouTube cares about. Now, in your travels in the United States, I am assuming. Well, let me get into that later. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Where have you been? Have you visited the 50 states already?
Not the 50. I've had my Travato for 6 months, and I put 15,000 miles on it. So I've been
That's
around
quite a
lot.
Bit.
So I, yeah. So when I first left, it was in May, and I had planned on going to Acadia, up in Maine, but at that time they had a huge COVID spike. And they were making people quarantine for 14 days that came into the state. You had to go to a hotel. You couldn't even stay in your RV. So I had some friends that are in the Escapers group, and they said, hey, come to Colorado. There's plenty of BLM land, plenty of national forest land here to camp on. I thought I would be more of a campground type of camper. Personally, I thought that's the kind of camper I was going to be. I have access to all the military bases. I have this Thousand Trails membership. And so I thought that's the kind of camper I was going to be. And when I got out west and I started hanging out with all these escapers, they started showing me all these amazing free campgrounds or campsites. I fell in love with it. And that's what I have done most of my time. Mm-hmm. I've been out west, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, the Dakotas, Arizona, Utah, and then I came back. My mother had surgery, so I came back to Missouri, and I decided, okay, let me go down to Florida for winter like everybody else does and see what Florida is all about. Yeah. So I was mostly out west.
Have you been to the Keys yet?
In the military, I was at the Keys a lot, as part of my job. So I'm very, very familiar with Key West and the other part of the Keys. But I have a motorcycle that I keep on my rig, and so I'm within striking distance of the Keys. So I'm probably going to head down there probably tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, you're probably about an hour from Key Largo. Not even an hour from
Key Largo. Yeah, not even an hour.
That's cool. Let me tell you, you have the perfect rig to RV in the West, and I agree with you. That's the same feeling I got once I went to the West, and there's so many land to boondock out there. And if you have enough solar, I mean, the Travera, the tanks are kind of on the smallish side, but you can you can get away with a couple of days. And
lots of these.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I usually spend 2 weeks out, 2 weeks boondocking. I've been able to make that work, even with a limited water. So I'm kind of famous for taking baths and in lakes and streams on my YouTube channel.
Yeah. A lot of vine lifers, that's what they do. They don't have a bathroom in their rig, you know, like a lot of people who self-build their own vans, and they use gyms and lakes and streams and what have you. And in a van by the river, man, like this.
Live in a van down by the river. It's funny, that used to be like a joke, and now it's like, now people want to do that.
No, man, now it's cool.
Now it's, like
now
a it's considered cool. Plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it used to be like kind of like your life was a failure if you lived in a van down by the river. Now people want to live in a van down by the river. Mm-hmm. So it's funny.
Now after Florida, what's next? Where are you going? Are you going to head out to Quartzsite by any chance? Are you going to the Tampa RV show, by the way? Because that's happening in 2 weeks, and I'm going.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be up there. I'm gonna be right now. I have a campsite in Largo booked, so I think I'm going to go there. I wanted to get the campsite there, but it sold out. Mm-hmm. But I think you can still stay in the parking lot. I think.
Yeah, the parking lot is. It used to be. I don't know if it used to be like $20 just to boondock in the parking lot plus whatever the parking is. It's on top of the parking.
Yeah,
and a lot of people do that. That parking lot looks like a little bit of an RV park, a section there, and then they have the super rally in the back, and then you know it's a fun show. I don't know how it's gonna be this year with COVID. I don't know what restrictions. I know you have to wear a mask anywhere indoors and inside RVs, but I don't know. we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's why I'm a little like, I don't know. So, you know, I'm new to the whole RV community, RV lifestyle. And I'm like, I don't know if I want my first Tampa RV show to be so impacted. You know, I might get I've heard such great things about it, but I know it's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. But I'll probably go anyway. I'm like debating with myself right now on whether I really want to do some cold weather camping. I really want to put this. The National Park Edition Travato is supposed to be four season. So I really want to kind of put it to the test to share with my audience. Plus, I've always wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about heading north, but I'll probably wait till the Tampa RV show. Go to that. I have some friends that are going there as well. So it'd be cool to see them as well.
No, last year, every single YouTuber I know, I think, was at the Tampa RV show. So it was a good time last year. We'll see this year how it is. And let me tell you, I kind of envy you for having all those four season and the battery systems. I think it would be a cool idea for some RV manufacturers for that to trickle down to like some travel trailers and other RVs. They always do it in the vans. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm so surprised too, because I know a lot of people that travel with like Airstream Basecamp trailers and like the mini Winnebagos. I see a lot of those out there on BLM land out west. And of course, they equip them themselves. You know, they throw lithium batteries in there, and they put like solar panels. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if they had a system like Volta on there, I don't know how they would handle the alternator, the second alternator that charges. Maybe I don't know. Maybe the tire spinning or something could.
I mean, in a trailer, in a trailer, you could charge from the tow vehicle. In theory,
that's true.
And some larger trailers, they have a generator. You could have a small, you know, small Honda there, you know, just to keep the battery trickle charge if you run into a couple of cloudy days, which it happens.
Yeah. No, I don't understand why they don't put those systems in those. I mean, they really don't put them in anything but the vans. Like, they don't put them in the A's or the C's either.
Mm-hmm. So, I know. Yeah. So sometimes I walk into one of these, you know, $500,000 diesel pusher motorhome, you know, 45 footer. Yeah. And what batteries you have in here? Well, we just have two AGMs. I'm like, come on.
I know, like, and it's such a game changer. Like, so the Travato and with the Volta system is like the only rig that's 30 amp, whether you're plugged in or not. So this rig is 30 amp. I can run the microwave, the air conditioner, and a hair dryer all at the same time, you know, because I have a 3600 watt inverter. So I can run, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like being plugged in when you're not plugged in. Actually, yeah. when I'm plugged in, a lot of times I'll trip the breaker, where if I mm-hmm. was unplugged, I wouldn't trip, yeah. you know, I wouldn't trip anything.
Yeah, so as you, really the way so you have great. It, as long as you monitor your batteries and you don't spend the summer in South Florida where you have to run the AC 24/7, I mean, yeah. you should be fine.
Yeah, well, even with the AC, if someone is a frequent driver, like they switch campsites every 2 or 3 days, I mean, you can run the AC yeah. in this thing forever, and it only takes an hour of driving to fully charge the battery.
Yeah, because you have that big alternator there too, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's like a yeah it. It's like a 58 volt alternator. So it charges the whole 12,000 watts in a little bit over an hour. So.
Well, that's great. That's great, Kevin. Well, it's been great talking to you. I don't know if, what are your future plans? I wanted to ask you something else. Encountered any trouble during COVID, like a place where you couldn't go or any travel restrictions? I know it's been a weird year in that sense, but
yeah, not really. Other than what I mentioned earlier with Acadia National or with Maine, basically, and that was at the very beginning of COVID. So of course, everyone was just trying to be super cautious. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how they would have enforced it. Like, made me stay at a hotel for 14. I don't even know how they would have enforced it. But other than that, I haven't had any issues. I've been pleasantly surprised with how open everything has been. There's been I've seen a lot of YouTube videos of people who've been doing this for a while talking about campgrounds being full, BLM land and all that being full. I haven't noticed that at all. I mean, I'm new to it, but I've been able to camp at some of the most beautiful places in the world with nobody else around on National Forest and BLM land. So I personally haven't had any issue with it. I've never had an issue getting into a campground. They're more than happy to take my money. So. Yeah. I haven't seen any impact.
Do you use any tools to plan ahead, or you just went with the flow?
Yeah, so I kind of go with the flow. I probably should get more organized. Like, putting 15,000 miles on in 6 months is not a very efficient way to travel. So I'd like to be a little plan a little bit better. Although I was planning on going up to Glacier and then to Washington State and Oregon. But the wildfires were going on, and so it was almost impossible.
You were there. We were probably at Glacier almost at the same time then, because I was in Glacier in late August. I don't know when you were there, but it was smoky.
I was in Tetons. I went down to the Tetons to get away from the smoke.
Yeah, actually, I have a friend who was at the Tetons, and he couldn't see the Tetons. I was so sad for him.
Oh no!
It was so smoky that.
That's crazy, because those things are just like. The way they rise out of the earth.
Yeah, he could barely see the silhouette.
That was... They could be covered. Yeah. So I was actually coming through California. I can't remember the name of that famous scenic highway.
Oh, the 395?
Yeah.
Or the one, the coast one, or the one in the Sierra?
No, the one in the Sierra Nevadas.
Yeah, 395. That's a beautiful drive, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't beautiful for me. I parked on this lake bed and I took a photo. And I noticed when I was editing in the photo that there was actually a huge mountain behind me, but I could not see it at all. It happened to be that, like, I changed the lighting on the photo and I could just see the outline of how huge the mountain behind me was. And I couldn't see it at all. So I didn't even see the Sierra Nevadas driving from Southern California all the way up to up to Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, and think of it, the Sierra Nevada is not that far. I mean, so they must have been like really heavy smoke. I mean, those are some of the highest peaks in North America. Mount Whitney is the tallest peak in the lower 48. It's right there. You have to go back, because that's a scenery to be seen, for sure.
I actually have a funny story about that. You were asking about, have I ran into any problems? So I was at that time, I was near Mammoth Lake. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any plans for camping. I was going up to Mooch Dock at a friend's place up in Lake Tahoe. But I was kind of slowly traveling up that way. And I looked at, you know, the freecampsites.net, and I noticed there was a national forest a little bit outside of Mammoth. And I was like, well, let me go check it out. It's a little bit late in the day, 5 o'clock. Might not get a spot, but let's just go check it out. I rolled into there. It was beautiful. I've got the most beautiful pictures of me camped in this forest, nobody there. And I'm like laying in my rig. The windows are open, you know, let the air flow in. And all of a sudden, like, smoke just starts bellowing into my rig. And there's like animals running through the forest, like deer and like squirrels, like running. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? So I got on there and I Googled the National Forest, and it basically said it's closed. Like, do not be in there. There's shifting winds, shifting fires. And I was like, okay, that makes sense why there's nobody in here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I got it. You know, I got out of there, obviously. But yeah, that was a little bit. I'm glad I didn't like fall asleep or something. But yeah, so that was a little bit. So always check the advisories for the national.
You know, us as we're traveling long term out there, sometimes we're lazy to check on the news and or see what's going on, because sometimes we don't even have a good internet signal or a way to get news and notices. What do you use for internet?
I use a couple different things. So I have Verizon's unlimited plan on my phone, which is great. I got the new iPhone 12, so I get the 5G now, which is like super fast, and it's in a lot more places than you think. Mm-hmm. So that's actually been a great addition. So when I was an international traveler, it's what I'm using right now, actually. There's a device you can buy on Amazon called a Glocal Me, and it's a Chinese company, but basically it allows you to set up a hotspot anywhere in the world. They have contracts all over the world with different companies, and you pay for like a day pass, a week pass, a month pass. Well, they also have that in the US. And they use AT&T and T-Mobile, whichever one is stronger. So it's kind of like I have all three services. I have my Verizon plan on my phone, so I can use that as a hotspot. And then I have AT&T and T-Mobile on my other device if I need it. And I also have a WeBoost. I think if you're traveling and you're trying to do the digital nomad thing, like, you've got to get a WeBoost.
I agree entirely. Yes, in a place like you are right now, major metropolitan area, it may not make a big difference, but if you are just a little bit out there in a little bit of a fringe, it's day and night. I do agree.
Yeah, it's been the difference between me having a little bit of internet, maybe not a whole lot, but at least enough where I can like get on freecampsites.net or pull up Google Maps or whatever, to not having any, especially like in the middle of Idaho. I've had a couple of times where if I didn't have the WeBoost, I would not have had any connection.
Now, you may not be able to do a live stream, but at least you can check the weather or something. Yeah. Yep. So what's in store for you in the future? What are your future plans?
I'm just going to keep traveling in my RV, sharing it with my audience. I love this lifestyle. When international travel opens up again, I plan on doing both. Like living in my RV part of the year and then spending the other part of the year traveling internationally, because I just love both. Like, there's a lot of people that just do one or the other, and like, I don't want to have to pick. I want to be able to do both.
Yeah.
And maybe even, you know, rent an RV in New Zealand, or rent a Hymer in Europe and do a little bit of that in Europe as well. So that's my long-term plan, is to just continue to travel. I mean, I'm very much like you. It's just cool that we've been able to carve out a little space and be able to travel for a living, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. I feel really blessed.
Travel bug, and especially once you get that RV bug, it's like, if there's a road to where you're going, you don't want to take a plane. You're just going to drive there.
I agree. I actually can't wait to take this down to Mexico and South America at some point.
Oh, I would love to too. Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, like, yeah, drive to like down to Patagonia or something. Like, I can't, like, we think about BLM land, how awesome it is, but can you imagine boondocking in Patagonia?
Yeah,
well, that would be amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. One of these days, the Pan American Highway is one of my goals as well. So
we
might bump into each other on the road somewhere around there, man. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This has been a little longer than I expected, but it's been so great chatting with you. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 30 and a wake up, the number 30 and a wake up on YouTube and on Instagram. I do have a website, 30andawakeup.com, but I haven't really updated it in a long time. So really, YouTube is my main spot.
All right, Kevin. Well, thank you for being here, and I'll see you on the road, man.
Yeah, it's been an honor. Thanks, Robert.
You're welcome. Well, it was great chatting with Kevin Martin of 30 and a Wake Up, and make sure to check out his channel on YouTube. And by the way, he's been on my live streams also a couple of times. Don't forget, tonight we have a live stream at 6 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully the internet will cooperate. I mean, our friends here, Rob and Trish, they have pretty decent internet, so it works. As you know, what was it, 3 weeks ago that we did one from here, and it worked very nicely from the campfire outside. So hopefully tonight it won't be too cold here in Perry, Florida, and we're able to do it outdoors. The only thing, this time of the year by 6 p.m. is it's dark. It's nighttime, so I might do it from the better lit inside of the RV. Now, next week, the Tampa RV Show, and that's going to be the next podcast, which reminds me, I'm going to be seeing our friends Eric and Tammy Johnson of Techno RV. And if you happen to shop at Techno RV, you know, tire pressure monitoring systems or surge protectors or the Berkey water filter. Mr. Berkey, remember Mr. Berkey in the backseat of my truck there? Make sure you visit them at travelingrobert.com/technoRV. And if you go through that link, they know I sent you. And at the end of the month, you know, they send me a little bit of a commission check. And that always helps support the podcast, which is otherwise commercial free. So until next time, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free in my RV.